Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome again to the Elevated Places Network, where we present on Thursday evenings Ask Minister Ava with myself as your host, Ava Muhammad, and my brilliant co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Our executive producer is Sister Rona Muhammad, and our legal contributor is Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who also hosts the phenomenal program on Tuesday nights entitled A Time for Justice, 7 o'clock, Central Time, each and every Tuesday. And as the network has continued to grow, we're also pleased to remind you that once a month, on the fourth Tuesday of every month, we have a Zoom presentation entitled Building Our Own Promised Land. And that is hosted and moderated by Sister Donna Muhammad and Brother Cartier Muhammad. So the Elevated Places Network is expanding in its reach to bring people the very best in media, education, enlightenment, and information. And it is a blessing to be with you tonight. We know that today there was a conviction of the former female white officer in this state of Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, who murdered our young brother. And we'll talk more about that momentarily with Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. But in the meantime, I want to turn the microphone over before we go further in our program to my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam and Merry, Merry Savior's Day. Merry, Merry Savior's Day.
Yes.
And it is a blessing that our Savior has arrived, so we don't have to wait no more. Our Savior has arrived, and we're thankful. So that's why we say up with Jesus, down with Santa. Up with Jesus and down with Santa. And we are blessed to know that Jesus, and we are so, so thankful for be the choice of God, that God will send his only begotten Son. You know, it's a beautiful thing when those scriptures make so much sense now, Dr. Ava. It feels so good to know those scriptures and watch those scriptures play out in our day-to-day lives, not necessarily something that we read about, seen on TV, but we can bear witness to it, and we can say we have been walking with the wise man. We can say we walk and watch a man teach the multitudes, walk amongst the people and heal them. We can say we know that man. We can bear witness to that man. We are witnessing that man today. So we can say happy, happy Savior's Day with joy and happiness, because we know a Savior has arrived. So we're back, Dr. Ava. A lot going on. And, as I talked about, our Savior has arrived, and we're looking at Joe Biden you know, it's very interesting. I remember my good friend Tamika Mallory, Linda Sasso, and Carmen Perez, you know, and my folks from Untailed Freedom. And they said, we're going to apply the same pressure to you, Biden, that we applied to Trump. So in other words, don't trip, y'all. Just because Trump didn't get back in don't mean that Biden is the savior, your friend, your buddy. Because, you know, because we are looking at these mandates that's about to hit in January. We're looking at these deans in different cities that's about to hit and stopping people from what they're doing. And, you know, it's conversations about, oh, yeah, we're going to put y'all quarantine, y'all put y'all in some camps because y'all not vaccinated. We're going to make y'all. So it's getting kind of tense. And some of the music says it's getting kind of hot in here, but you know we were walking with someone and we knew that that was coming. But not only that, Dr. Ava, we know when we talk about Jesus, my point was, you know, Jesus. So we say he paid it all. Well, while America, who says one nation under God, go ahead and pay this student debt off. Stop delaying it because there was pressure put on the government and Biden to extend, you know, the student loan debt, the payments of the student loan debt, and they said he was going to start it back or that was not going to be extended past January, but now it's pushed to May. We're like, well, why you keep extending it? Why don't you just relieve the debt like you did all of the bankers, like you did Wall Street? So I don't understand why. And the benefit of those that are now working in society, the economic boost that it would do to the economy once you relieve those of debt so that their credit could be better and everything that can be done. As I think we were talking about, some people say, well, just don't pay it. Don't pay it. But, you know, when you don't just pay it, then that actually messes up credit, which causes you not to get a home, which causes you not to get certain things and be established. So we just saying, pay it all, relieve that student debt. So we're going to push on because we know that's politics. And you already announced, Dr. Ava, what we're going to be discussing tonight. You know, watching someone in court was just very interesting as the verdict was coming down. You know, it's coming down, and I just say this before we get into that discussion. It's amazing how when you look at a judge, you know, God is that judge that you can say, you can state your case, and you can lay out a beautiful case, and you can say this and say that, but God has already rendered judgment. God has already decided your fate. So I don't have to get emotional jump, and I hear you. I heard your case, but I already know what the verdict and what the rendering will be. Even though I've heard your case, but your case is not strong enough to sway me, to move me about my decision about what's going to be done. And that just makes me think about God and black people in here in America. So with that, we don't ever want to forget that you can improve yourself to be ready for this, which is coming, and join in on every Friday night, 7:30 p.m., self-improvement, the basis for community development. Go to NOI.org and ask the Monster Study Group or openly. Some of us are still at home or shut in or just not able to go to a local Monster Study Group. So you can also go to NOI.org on Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and hear some of this life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and some of his representatives. And come back Wednesday to hear Farrakhan speaks at 7:30 p.m. But Minister Ava, I know we are on board for the what? Master's class. Or at least people are just excited. You got to go to MinisterAva.com. MinisterAva.com. And let me say this. We do not celebrate this thing they call, as somebody said other night, said, no, I didn't like it. I hated when I was a child. I hated when they said Xmas. So I said, they taking Jesus out. You know, I ain't like that. But now I understand why It's excellent because there is no Jesus in this no more. They have taken Christ out. But I'm saying
right.
that to say.
It was never about him. Mm-hmm.
That's right. But I understand. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, no. No problem, Dr. Ava. I was just going to say, I understand that some of our people that even watch and listen to our show, they still celebrate. They can say, well, we don't celebrate the white man. We don't celebrate Santa, but we still give gifts. And I'm like, well, good. Go ahead and give a gift. You can give a Savior's Day gift, or you can go to MinisterAva.com and get a lecture, get a book, get an e-book,
yes,
and gift that to a friend.
That's
gift
right.
that to someone
that's right.
if you want to get a gift, and you still got time. You know, you still get to, it may not get there by Saturday. That's okay. But knowledge is always on time. It's always on time. So let's not wait. It could be your New Year's resolution to get more knowledge, to get more information. Go to MinisterAva.com or go to FinalCall.com and get some more of these great teachings. And also subscribe to the Final Call newspaper at FinalCallDigital.com, FinalCallDigital.com, and get your latest subscription of the Final Call newspaper. But we know, Dr. Ava, we're closing it down. We know people are going to be out. So we just ask people to be safe, be careful, because Christmas falls on a Saturday night, so people going to bring it in Friday night for Christmas. People are going to be out on Christmas night having fun. So we ask that you make sure that your family and loved ones are safe in their home. And, again, I wanted to also shout out, you know, some brothers and sisters. I think our sister Tamika Miley, I mentioned her earlier, because she did a thing where she's being grateful and generous, and she wanted to pay somebody's rent. So she was announcing this thing that they were going to do, paying folks rent. And some of her girlfriends said they want to join in, and they want to pay somebody's rent. So that's something that they're going to be doing where her and her friends are just, you know, want to help somebody out at this time of the year.
In
and
a
I would
real
just say
way.
That.
Yeah.
Yes, in a real way, which they really need. And that's a good gesture. And I love all the time where we come in these seasons and holidays. I just say, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going in January. Let's keep it going in February. And I know not all the time we got all the resources and maybe that special time. But if you can, let's make a program where we look out and help those less fortunate and be mindful of that. And also one of my coworkers, Seth, 4-5 down in New Orleans, they were blessed to go to New Orleans, go to Houma, LaPlace, Louisiana, that got hit and worse by Hurricane Ida, to give out toys and give out some aid to those people that was hit hardest and the worst. And I just bring that up because we should always be in the spirit of giving. You know, it's not just about this Christmas even, but we should always be in the spirit of giving to those less fortunate to make sure that they're happy. So as others are at their homes and celebrating and bringing joy, we got to remember some people didn't make it through this year. Some people do not have a gift or a home or a family to be with during this time of the year. So our work, our mission is still the resurrection work and going out and being with our people and making sure that they are okay and have that which they need, not only during this time of the year, which is very significant because it is a high year for or a time for depression as we have now entered officially the winter solstice. Winter has officially come upon us, but we want to be mindful to look after our people, and also, Dr. Ava, be very mindful of the uptake in crime in our cities during this time
of
year.
Oh, my God, please. That's right.
So we have to be mindful for that, and a lot of cities are already seeing a rise in criminal activity and crime in their cities. So we want to be mindful, watchful, especially at night during the times of meetings. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Oh, yes, sir. Excellent, excellent guidance. And, you know, back to the point about Christmas and Xmas, you know, if we look back over the years and look at the the brief history of the so-called Christmas and Santa Claus, which is a Santa Claus, basically the one that is used today is an invention of the Coca-Cola company. In the early 20th century.
Right.
There's a fascinating series on the History Channel called That Built America. Like, for example, the toys that built America, the cars that built America, the engineering that built America. And it covers the development of the industries, the technology that took America to the very top of the globe in advancement, in wealth, in military power. Naturally, though, this history starts in the middle because instead of starting in the late 19th century, the 1800s, they should have started in 1555 because it was the sweat and blood of our ancestors and the millions of tons of cotton that were handpicked by our ancestors that took this country from a third-rate agrarian country to a power. And this wealth that was created by us brought up a generation in the mid-1800s, right around the time that chattel slavery ended, the sons of those who benefited from slavery were being educated and reared. And they had the comfortability, the education to sit and use their creative resources. So they became inventors of the automobile.
Right.
And everything that they have done has been rooted in what we did for them. But I bring all that up to say that one of the most ingenious and deceptive things that developed in this country is, as we know, is advertising, the commercialization of everything. Okay.
That's right.
And Santa Claus comes from this creature in Europe. And there are many, many narratives about who this man actually was, that rather than this man who loves little children, these images that you see in the European history are of a child predator. And what ultimately was transferred into elves, those were little children, okay?
That's right.
And the bottom line is that came over here in the 18th century was grabbed by the Coca-Cola company in its infancy as a key to marketing their drink. And that image caught on, and that's the so-called Santa Claus. But there was a time, even going back as recently as the mid-20th century, when I was growing up, people went to church services during this time. The central figure of this celebration was the Jesus and his birth.
That's right.
His humble birth and his parents, okay? The Virgin Mary and the baby Jesus and all of this. Well, if you've noticed, it's been years since Jesus' name was even mentioned.
That's right.
During this so-called Christmas season. Think about it. When is the last time you heard his name mentioned at all?
Come on.
And so, you know, this Christ Mass, and as you brought up, Brother Terrence, when people used to say, well, I don't like the Xmas because they're taking Christ out. Well, yeah, okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that has been a problem for the retailers. They want to get away from that. So then they stop saying Merry Christmas, and now they just say season's greetings.
Mm.
Happy holidays. And if you've paid attention the last 10 years, it's been 100% retail. 100%. Well, I just wanted to make that point before we get into the program. When the minister said, up with Jesus, down with Santa, he nailed it.
That's right.
He nailed it because Jesus has been dropped down to nothing.
That's right.
And they did a survey recently. I heard it on the radio, so I don't know who conducted the survey, but 36, they asked people their feelings about Christmas and the season, the holidays. Said 36% of the people said they don't enjoy this time of year the way they used to. And they said they could live with it or without it. That's 36% of the people. 29% said they can't stand it. It's just a time of stress and pressure to spend money, to entertain people, to figure out how to make people happy. And to the point you raised earlier, it's a very depressing time if you don't have any family.
That's right.
And as you said, it's the winter solstice, so it's dark. The sun, I know here in Chicago, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, even with this so-called the devil messing with the clocks.
Mm-hmm.
It's still dark at 7 a.m.
That's right.
And at 4 p.m., it's black. It's pitch black.
That's right.
And in the middle of all that, it's cloudy.
Come on. Great.
And we've just been blessed. We haven't been hit yet with the real Chicago weather.
Right.
But this thing has become like an albatross on the necks of the people. And at the root of it is the insatiable greed of these retailers. And they're mostly, this is mostly Jews.
That's right.
That are behind all this. Now, they call us anti-Semitic. But it I don't know why. We're just saying what is.
That's right. That's all.
Who owns all the retail outlets? Who owns Amazon? Who owns everything? Okay? And if nothing else, we'll just say it generically. Then we'll just say it's white people. But it sure isn't us.
At all.
It sure isn't
not
us.
Not with the numbers. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which we do not support around this time of the year.
That's right. So at this point, we're going to open up the lines later and get people, our callers' input on this time of year. And we're very grateful that our Savior has arrived.
That's right.
And we have we have something else that we're engaged in. So we can just drop this completely, and we invite our people to do the same. So at this point, I want to get the mic open. We have the mic open for Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, our legal contributor and host of A Time for Justice every Tuesday at 7. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Minister Ava. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. And, as I was listening to you all talking about the Xmas, one of the other horrible, I think, results of people participating in Xmas is the buyer's remorse and just the incredible regret for the spending that our people go through after they broke into the January
right.
to February.
January, February,
I mean,
yes.
Yes, ma'am. And in these times,
and the big electric bills that come in.
Yes, ma'am. It's just sad to see. But yes, ma'am. So all praises are due to Allah. Thank you, Sister Ava, for mentioning the show, A Time for Justice. And thank you and the Elevated Places team for allowing us to do that show. We are so thankful. And, you know, it's very interesting as we talk about Potter being found guilty of manslaughter for Dante Wright's death, which, as you talked about, that is the breaking news today. The Minnesota police officer out of this suburb was found guilty of two counts of manslaughter, first-degree manslaughter and second-degree manslaughter. And it seems like between those cases, there's a maximum penalty of 15 years. That's what the first-degree manslaughter case carries. And it was very just a fascinating trial to me because, as we know, Kim Potter, she shot our 20-year-old brother Dante Wright on April the 11th. And this was during the time of the George Floyd, the trial where our brother George Floyd had been murdered by Derek Chauvin. So it was really something that just stung and stuck out and was just so horrible. And so we see that Kim Potter, her defense was that she had mistakenly reached for her gun or her taser, but really pulled out a gun and shot him. And, you know, the jury did not go with that particular story as not meaning that she needed some criminal penalty and some accountability because this young brother was murdered. And so they convicted her of the manslaughter because what they said in essence is that the law said that if you're causing someone's death while committing or attempting to commit a lesser crime, then that was the manslaughter conviction. So the lesser crime was that she mishandled the weapon. She mishandled, you know, the way she handled the gun. And so that was, you know, part of how she got convicted under that manslaughter scheme. And, you know, it was really interesting because after the conviction, of course, she was handcuffed and put into custody, even though they wanted her defense attorneys were trying to get her to be released on bail pending sentencing. But no, the judge denied that because the judge was saying this is a very serious offense. They found out that Kim Potter had actually moved out of the state while on bail waiting for this trial. And so that definitely was not, you know, within the judge didn't, you know, did not feel like she should be released on bail. And so some of the highlights that I saw, you know, one of the things is that her defense that she was supposedly in fear, she saw the fear in her fellow officer's face. This was an article that was in the Final Call. Ms. Potter testified that she fired after seeing fear on the face of another officer who was leaning into the car's passenger side. And that's why she's saying she pulled out her, thinking it was her taser, but really it was her gun, and she shot this young brother. And really, you know, it was interesting to me because they had three officers total at that scene. So you had two officers who were at the car. Kim Potter, that she was standing back. So it really just brought up the fact of how they handle us with such aggression and force because we're talking about three police officers, a young 20-year-old male who did comply. He got out of the car when he was stopped. Another thing that came out in the trial was that there was a lot of discretion as to whether or not they even needed to stop him. They, you know, said that it was racial profiling because they didn't have to stop him for these minors talking about they just talked about how he was, you know, stopped and he could have actually not been. Even Kim Potter testified on the stand that perhaps she would not have made that stop because it was so minor. And so, you know, and when she approached him, that was another thing because the officer that pulled him out of the car, pulled Dante right out of the car, seemed like he had that thing under control, you know, had, and you know, not thing, but he had the arrest under control. The young man was complying, and then Kim Potter, for some reason, walks up and takes something out of Dante's hand, which after she did that, and because this was what we saw in the dash cam, that's when it appeared that, you know, Dante felt very unnerved. He, you know, whatever happened, but it still didn't warrant her pulling out any kind of weapon and shooting him because, again, you had three officers there, and it just, was, you know, just really a travesty, Sister Ava. Let's see, you know, some of the things that I thought was interesting, because, again, when she was testifying, she even talked in her testimony like, you know, and we were assessing and, you know, where he was standing. And, you know, so they just saw this as a threat from the beginning, a black man in a car.
A young, who's not
treated.
Even a full adult yet. 20
no, man.
That's right.
Yes, young. And so the thing is that when she began to testify, and I thought this was very interesting, when the prosecutor came to cross-examine her, it was very interesting because her attorney had made her, tempted to make her look like she was the victim. You know, guess when she's doing all this, oh, it was a colossal mistake, is this and that, and, you know, how she needed to be, you know, they talked about how she was so just fragile and after killing this young man. But then when the prosecutor cross-examined her, it was very interesting because a different demeanor emerged. You know, the officer, Kim Potter, she began to look very stern and very aggressive to me. And these two, the prosecutor and the defendant who was on the stand, they began to kind of lock horns a bit. She wasn't as, you know, she kind of showed possibly to me how she may act on the streets. You know, she's a tough officer. She's a police officer. And so the prosecutor was kind of like, you're trained to do this. You're trained to, you know the difference between a gun and a taser, and you're also trained in de-escalating the situation, aren't you? So that's when, you know, for all of America to see these tears that we see are just so flowing, to me, that's kind of when the tears came. It was just, oh, my gosh, let me do something. Let me cry. That's how I saw it. So to see the jury convict her and not, you know, during the deliberations, they wanted to see some of the evidence, and they really wanted to see something about the gun or the taser to see, was this plausible that, you know, perhaps this officer who had been working, they say she had been working longer than he, this Dante Wright, had been living. She had been on the force, I think, for at least over 20 years, I think. So, you know, they just did not convicted her. And I think the final thing that, you know, maybe those who watched it as well, but when you look at the footage of what happened of the murder, one of the things that's amazing is that after our young brother was shot in the chest, the bullet, she shot him one time in the chest, they chose to administer aid to Kim Potter. So our young brother, who has been
shot, he kind of fell
in the car or something, and the car kind of took off and it crashed really immediately. It was just amazing to see. But then she starts falling on the ground, crying, and they didn't even go to the brother who had been murdered. They actually were just attending to her because she was just, you know, so worthy of all the attention, you know, and that was just very not a good look at all. So in closing, Sister Ava, to me, I just wanted to say that it really brought to mind what happened with our brother Philando Castile when he was murdered in St. Paul, I think it was July of 2016. And if we remember Philando Castile, you know, the information was that he had been stopped 52 times between 2002 and 2016 for minor traffic offenses. And the reason why that officer shot him, Officer Yanez, according to some ABC story, they say they looked like people who were involved in a robbery. And that officer wasn't convicted of second-degree manslaughter, but today Kim Potter was convicted of two counts of first degree manslaughter and second degree manslaughter. So, you know, I think it's an important, it was a fair verdict. I believe it was a fair verdict. Yes, ma'am. So that's what I saw and I wanted to share.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, it's, as we know, it's not justice. But
no, ma'am.
It is a measure of accountability.
Yes.
And
right.
in the mind of those people, they're traumatized when they're held accountable.
That's right.
They're upset that somebody is asking them to explain.
That's right.
What they did. You know, how dare you? But I wasn't aware of what you just shared about administering aid to her versus this young man that you just shot in his chest at close range.
Yes, ma'am.
Which was almost guaranteed to kill him.
Yes,
that's right.
You know, but just to remind our listeners, you know, a taser has a laser and LED lights on it that display
right
before you fire it. You know, it's they're built to feel different and look different from your gun.
Intentionally.
And
that's right.
That's right. And officers carry the taser on their weak side.
Right, right.
They keep their handgun on their dominant
side.
Like,
that's right. Come on.
Like if you're left-handed, if you fire left-handed, you're going to carry your gun.
That's
on
right.
Your left side and your taser on your. So there's like six or seven different substantive differences between
mm-hmm.
the taser and the handgun. I think it's just like you're saying, Sister Pamela. This was just it's just really a typical, you know, white woman response to something.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
I think
the brother in what is it? Was it Dallas, Texas?
Exactly.
Where
the
white police officer burst into the brother's apartment. Here he is at home for an accountant.
His own home.
Home from work. Just looking at you know. Oh, I'm in. Let me get a little ice cream. Sit down, watch a little TV, decompress. And here comes a crazy white female.
That's right.
Bursting into your house and saying that she fired because he didn't follow her commands. Follow
right.
your commands. It's a shock that you're in there.
You know, busting my house.
Exactly.
That's right. Yes,
but,
ma'am.
But time and circumstances continue to bear witness to the total truth of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And one of them that comes to bear fruition all of the time is why we secure ourselves.
That's right.
And why we're on the lookout. See, that it, you know, it's actually, you know, as Sister Donna said on the Project Separation program the other night, you know, and she'll talk about that later, with the mayor of Stonecrest and also Brother Louis Ali about this amazing thing that's happening in Georgia. But when we say we're done, you know, we want to live among ourselves.
That's
oh,
right.
You just hate white people. Do you know what kind of psycho, sick sociopath you have to be to say that to us? With our history together? Yeah, it's like a man slapping a woman around and throwing her against the walls and breaking her legs and arms and stepping on the children. And then she packs her bags to leave. Oh, you just hate me.
That's right.
This is about my survival. That's what this is about. This is not getting better. This is getting worse.
That's right.
So anyway, yes,
Sister Ava.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say real fast, because it was definitely clear from, you know, any reasonable person could have asked, why did she even reach for the taser or the handgun,
or the
because
gun.
There was nothing
right.
in that situation that warranted any of that. And I just wanted
true.
To say, too, her defense attorney, which, you know, I guess what defense attorneys say what they say, but, you know, he wanted to make the point that the young man had created the environment and that it was his own fault that, you know, and that's just so ridiculous that, you know, putting the blame on the victim. And so just in
always.
Closing, like you said, Black drivers, you know, 4 times likely to, more likely to be stopped in New York. Black pedestrians are 8 times more likely to be stopped. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with. We're just surveilled and hunted. So I just wanted to make sure I made that point. Yes, ma'am.
No, you're exactly right. But dissatisfaction is at 100% now. But go ahead, Brother Terrence.
No. It's really deep. And I can't, and I'm prefacing this by, I don't know where I saw it on social media, and I don't know what this was, but it was like a huge crowd, like somebody was at a concert, and I don't know, the war show concert, I don't know what, but it had Rittenhouse all in lights, and he was coming up on stage or something, walking across stage. I don't know what this was.
God.
And some of the callers may know, and everybody had their cell phones out, but I saw his name, Rittenhouse. So I don't know what this was. Somebody may know if he was at a celebration or something. And I just say that if that was something that was real and true, then you know, they celebrate him, right? And I say they celebrate him because as I looked at the trial, when I was looking at the trial today or when they was giving it to the sentencing and the judge, you know, it was interesting to watch, like, the defense attorney talk about, hey, you know, she's not going nowhere. And let's just set it at $100,000 bond. You know, and the fact that they said $100,000 bond with ease, like, yeah, just $100,000 so she can get out. Like, which one of us, you know, in the black community has got $100,000 laying around to go out for bond, you know, while they're waiting on sentencing? And then it was just about, you know, it's Christmas season, you know, and all of this, right? And the thing about it was they was painting this picture, and as they always paint the picture, this white woman, and as we know the nature of them. So since we know the nature of them, we understand when we go amongst our people, that's not your nature, and we know that you are made a certain way, so we come in love because we know you've been created in a certain way. But around them, we know your nature, so they may not look like the way they think they should look. Or we say, oh, no, she's nice. She's one. No, she's not a nice one. She will kill you. That's the reality.
That's right.
She will kill you. If you look a certain way, she will kill you. Karens will call the police on you. They will scream. They will cry.
Right.
We see that. So it's just very interesting how they painted this picture of this wonderful, light woman who just killed somebody. It's like, oh, she's harmless. No, she's not. She's a threat. She is dangerous. When the white psyche kicks in, she is dangerous to black people. But we're not
that's
talking
right.
that way. They're not looking that way, but that's what it is. But the other piece of this, Dr. Ava, when I was
that
looking
so
at
us. Because we're made to worship the white skin
right.
and the blonde hair. And
mm-hmm.
and that's really a deficiency.
Right.
That's an albino. That's an albino. When
that's
you
right.
have, when
yes,
you have
ma'am.
No melanin and your
right.
hair has no color, but they have used propaganda to make us see it. Because, see, the eye records, I apologize, that's my grandchildren. The eye records without prejudice. It's part of the brain. But the brain interprets what the eye records objectively. And they have made our brain to interpret white skin, which is unnatural on the planet. It's not a pretty sight. And we've been made to think it's beautiful to the point, to this day, bleaching cream is on the rise in Africa.
It's true. Yes, ma'am.
The sale of it. It's on the rise. I saw one of my favorite actresses, and now her name escapes me, but I love her, and she's so beautiful.
Grace?
She was in the Harriet Tubman movie.
Oh, okay.
She played the sister in Philadelphia who was wealthy and was helping free the slaves. She was in the movie Hidden Figures. She's a singer. Also,
oh.
She's a singer.
Janelle
oh,
Monáe.
Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe.
Yeah,
she is so pretty, but she's got an automobile commercial now And she's got blonde hair.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there looking at her like, why are you doing that as beautiful as you are? But it's a mindset. It's a mindset that they put us in.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And going back to that point, Dr. Ava, I love our elevated places because, like I said, we just put it out there and somebody's going to have it. But our sister Donna hit me up and said, Kyle Rittenhouse received standing ovation at Glitzy Turning Point USA event in Phoenix. And this was published December the 22nd. And this is by Associated Press. And it says, acquitted Kenosha, Wisconsin teen shooter participates in panel discussion at an event hosted by Turning Point USA, which organized young conservative activists. I'm like,
wow.
Really? So that's
why, who among us wants would want is what black person in their right mind wants to live among a people like that?
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
That's crazy.
Sister Ava, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead, Brother Terrence. No, you finish.
No. I come back to my closing point.
No. Well, the only thing, I just have to say this about this crying on the stand. And I remember, Brother Terrence, some of the males when Rittenhouse was crying, it really was unnerving. You know, we just outrageous when he was crying on the stand. But when Kim Potter was crying on the stand, it really struck a nerve with me. Because as we know, in the courtroom, just as a FYI, black defendants, they really can't cry on the stand and receive any kind of favorable treatment or mercy. Actually, it's cause for even more anger
contempt.
And more contempt toward you, because they're like, oh, you crying, oh, you know, crying now, you weren't crying, you know. So that is another, I think, example of what Sister Ava was saying about the programming, you know, that is given to white people, that somehow their tears are worthy of some type of sympathy like that, because black defenders don't get that.
No, and I can care less about your damn tears, but it is amazing, and that's why I hate when press conference happen after some white person on the radio or TV. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. No, that your nature, what you regularly do comes out, but you didn't mean to do that out in a public space because you're a public figure. But it's not that this is not what you didn't mean. You meant it, and that's what you said. Because then they say, well, I'm not racist, but that is just your nature that came out, which you just didn't want to be.
Right.
You just didn't want to be exposed.
They even believe that when they say that.
Yeah, that exactly.
Because they're mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, see, when somebody says that, like this coach that was fired from the Oakland Raiders, you know, never mind you call people niggas and make all kind of slurs, but what he means by he's not racist, he doesn't hang people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't believe in hanging black people or shooting us in the face in front of our one-year-old and we're unarmed. So they think the fact, well, we let you live here. There's even a Negro on my street.
Right, right.
Okay.
And we're not bothering you. We're
right.
not racist.
Yeah, right. I don't bother you.
We allow you to live. We're not racist. So we allow
right.
you to live.
Exactly.
And that's very deep, Dr. Ava. That's very
it's
psychologically
very deep.
Deep.
Horrifying.
I'm not shooting at you. I'm not cussing at you. I allow you to walk.
Right.
I allow you to talk. I allow you to even speak to me. I'm not a racist. Because a racist wouldn't allow you to
right.
exist.
I don't walk
That's
into your
thinking.
House and rape your daughter. So I'm not a racist.
That's
I mean, you're
it.
Still a nigger. You're a nigger. All I said is it's a nigger. What's wrong with that?
I mean, that's what you are, as he will see it.
Remember
right.
the,
that's,
you know, the film One Night in Miami about
right.
Muhammad Ali, Malcolm, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown. Remember mm-hmm. the scene where Jim Brown visited the home of this rich white man who owned all the land where Jim Brown grew up. And now Jim Brown, at this point in life, is the star running back for the Cleveland Browns and breaking all the records in NFL history. Many of his records stand today, 60 years later. So he goes to visit this old white man and just to see how he's doing and say hello. And it's this big southern house. And they sit on the veranda and they talk and drink lemonade and all of this. And then Jim Brown said, well, it's time for me to go. I just, you know, I'm down here for another reason, whatever, the fights or whatever. And as he's leaving, the daughter of this man comes to the door and said, Daddy, you know, don't forget we got to move the piano or move some piece of furniture. And Jim Brown said, oh, I'll help you all move it. I think it was Bo Bridges was playing this cracker. He said, oh, come on, Jim, you know we don't let niggers in the house.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that's wow. One of the few times, you know, watching a film, it's hard to, like, blow me and shock me when it comes to racism.
Right.
But I'm here at the house. My husband and I were watching this. And I was like, no, he didn't. And this was in the 1960s. And this man is a superstar.
Come on.
Come on, Jim. You know we don't let niggers in the house. And he wants to come in to help move some furniture.
Crazy.
That's wow. Who they are.
Exactly.
That's right.
And there's not only is something wrong with them, something's
wrong
with us.
Don't even want to be around.
Minister Farrakhan said, without at study guide number 12 of self-improvement, the basis for community development, he said, without black inferiority, there's no white superiority. One requires the other.
Mm.
If there were no black inferiority, there could be no white superiority. Because both of them are an illusion. And so it requires both of them to exist. And
that's
as
right.
Soon as we stop being inferior, how can they be superior? So when you look at a man like Richard Williams and the film King Richard that Will Smith
yes,
put up
man.
On the screen, see, that's a black
beautiful.
Man. That's an original man.
That's right.
Now, what if the majority of our men were like him in terms of their thinking, not impersonating him or just imitating what he did? It's the principle that he followed, that
yes, ma'am.
I have the power to bring into reality an idea that I have. The minister said there's nothing more powerful than having an idea and bringing it into reality.
That's right.
He said, if you can do that, you don't need to smoke weed or do crack or cocaine or drink or run around chasing women or chasing men. You don't need all that because that's escapism.
That's right.
From the reality of your messed up condition. But when you can think of something and make it happen, that's the greatest high that there is, and it's real. That's what the originator did. He created a brain for himself. Think of that. So he could think. I haven't got past that yet. He created a brain for himself so he could think.
Come on.
That's who we are.
That's right.
And we were brought to an all-time low to break us of our rebellious spirit. But that's over. It ended in 1914. There's nothing keeping it moving but us.
That's right.
So here's a man, Richard Williams. He doesn't just rear two girls and say, oh, you know, you look like you got a skill. And I'm going to develop that. No, they were born in his mind.
Come on.
Then he did what Master Fard Muhammad did. He went to a female, a woman, to his wife, and shared the idea with, said, this is what I want to produce.
Are you in? That's right.
And she's like, yeah, I'm in. Why? Because neither of us can get this done without the other. Only one ever to come into existence without the agency of a female is the self-created God. And he brought from himself a second self that he calls woman. That's who she's from.
That's right.
She ain't from nobody's rib. She's from the mind of the originator.
Yes, ma'am.
And just like she complimented that first God, the woman to this day is a necessity. How do you not need what he needed? Think about that.
That's a whole book, Dr. Ava. Hold up, y'all. Y'all just got a whole nother book title.
Lately I've been going.
No, on. That was a whole book title. How are you not going to need a woman and God created one for himself? Man. So that's why we can go to a commercial break and say, go to MinisterAva.com,
yes,
and more conversations just like that you can get at MinisterAva.com. No, that's powerful. I mean, it's almost hard for me to go way back in time to finish my point, because what you just laid out because it takes us into another powerful point, because the reality of what you're talking about is Master Muhammad's father speak out someone to produce a particular type, a particular kind, you know?
Yes, sir.
And he tried on the first shot. Okay, it ain't work. Tried on the second shot, but then made sure that he put everything around him and in him that would be needed to be who he is. And so when we look at King Richard, and we looked at what he did, you know, and what he produced. I mean, he came out of Compton. They in Compton. They had little bees in their head when they was at Wilmington. You know what I'm saying? So they was blackety black when they was at Wilmington with the bees in their hand. They hated that. But he was producing something great. And like you said, out of his mind, he saw the greatness out of his mind, that he didn't allow anything else to not see what he saw, and he produced not only one, but two champions, and produced one that was great, but then he said, there's one coming greater than you, and I'll produce both of you. I mean, that's powerful.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And it came out of
and
nothing.
He wrote it out.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. But you know, one thing I saw on another interview with Richard Williams, he gives a lot of credit to his mother as well. And so I think that's another.
Yes.
Have you seen? Yeah, he gives a lot of credit and honor to his mom and teaching him and raising him. So I think that's another perspective as well.
Well, that's key to bring out, because the minister said, if you to the black man, he said, if you don't respect her, you'll never get near to God. She's part of God. She's his second self. So you can't pray and bow to him and mistreat her, because you're mistreating his second self. What the Caucasian calls the alter ego, a different manifestation of the same being. Remember, the Quran said a single being. So you're always going to find with any profoundly successful man, you're going to find respect for his mother. You're going to find that. And if not his mother, his grandmother, his aunt, his cousin, his teacher. But there's going to be a female in his life that he was able to accept guidance from. That's how you break the chains of the slavery of sexism. Sexism makes a man a slave. Just like racism has made white people slaves. And that's why they're at the end. And the minister told them, you will not conquer this virus. But he didn't tell them why or how it would manifest. But it's the deception and the evil agenda. And they are at odds with each other, like every criminal cartel. They're falling out with each other.
That's right.
But we're going way out there. So,
let me.
I forgot. Oh, we were dealing with white people in their mindset. But go ahead.
I wanted to go back to it. So it was one point I did wanted to bring up that was very interesting to me and both of you have, you know, practice in law. It was very, very unique and very interesting when I watched the judge, right, and, you know, woman and, you know, how she laid out about, you know, why she's not going to allow, you know, she's not going to allow bail, you know, she's, you know, you're not going to be out, you know, you're not going to get out. And she said, I can't. You know, and she's like, I can't with this case, this nature of this case. And it was almost like, you know, I haven't done this before. But what got me was when she, you know, talked to the state and talked to the defense, she's like, so when do y'all want to come back for sentences? Or it was something else they had to do, and the state was like, well, I just need 2 weeks, you know, get this done. And then it was like the defense, so we need such and such until maybe the end of January. So she said, give me a date. It's okay, January 31st. I said, okay, we'll do that. And next you know, then it was going all the way into February, almost into March when they were going to sentence him. And as I was listening to both of them, no, I can't do that. I got a trial coming up, so I need some more time. I got another trial coming up I got to deal with. We can't do this week, Your Honor. We out all this week. And they just kept pushing us back, you know, pushing us back when this person to get sentenced. Now, we know we want her to get sentenced as quick as possible, but it made me think about how calmly I'm watching. This is not like the movies. This is what it's like, you know, I'm watching a TV show. But to just listen to them calmly, like, oh, no, I can't do this day, Yana. Can we push it back to sentencing? I'm like, hold up. Y'all talking about somebody's life that has to nail weight in jail or in prison until y'all come together to figure out when we can have the sentencing. So, I mean, I got to wait for the sentencing.
And, you know, it was just very interesting. And I just think about how black people that are innocent or have been thrown in jail for non-reason,
oh,
and you have to, like, oh, we're going to delay this trial. We're going to delay this. Or we're going to come back. We'll delay it into March. We'll delay it into next year. We'll delay. And you have to sit, and you can't even get bail. You can't even get out to even be brought to trial. Not even necessarily sentenced, but even brought to trial, and then you got to wait for sentencing. It was just very deep how that plays out and how calmly I'm watching it, you know, thanks to Roland Martin. I was watching it on Facebook. I was like, wow. They literally were like calmly just talking about, no, we can't do this week. Yeah, we can come back. Well, maybe next month. I'm like, really? Are y'all just talking? So it just amazed me. And if you're not in the legal system or in the courtrooms to watch how this play out and know how this stuff goes and how people are – speaking on your behalf or doing these things, it will amaze you.
It's completely cold blooded. You know that
it is.
Just, there's no emotion or sensitivity even at all. You know, and I, and back in the day when I was in the prosecutor's office before everything was digital, we had folders, you know, cases. And you know, you're there with this stack of folders. You know, when they call the cases. Because they do the calendar call first to see who's present, who didn't show up, and then they get down to the preliminary hearings or whatever's going on. And, you know, somebody's name will come up to Brother Terrence's point. Well, Your Honor, he's over in Rikers Island. He's not here. They'd have to bring him over. And apparently they didn't bring him. He's still over there. Okay, well, we'll just put it over. What's
Next.
A good date for you? Mr. Jones.
Come on.
Talking to the prosecutor. Oh, well, I guess, you know, January, because it's almost the holidays, so I guess January 5th. What about you, Ms. Smith? Yeah, that's fine. At 2 o'clock? Yeah, okay. Well, we'll put it over. We'll just put it over. So, Brother Terrence,
that's right.
You're just a thing.
Literally.
That's it. Yes, ma'am.
And they go on to their big home and celebrate the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And think how many cases they have, or how many, and which lawyer you have to get, and which lawyer you have, and then all of the stuff that we're talking about. When I, you know, when you watch and you know you watch a lot of movies, or I watch different cases, or I go to court, and then as we're talking about, you know, how many cases and how many things have been tried. When we just go back in the 70s, the 80s, or the 90s, and we wouldn't have as much digital ability to pull up data, to pull up information, to scan stuff or get stuff where you need it. What was going on in those courtrooms? What was going on with those lawyers with all of those files, all of that paperwork? And how did you keep up with all of that data and everything? And to be honest, with all that and do all that work. Now, if you were not funded and you didn't get a lot of money for your case and you were the legal defender, you know, a public
right.
defender, what in the world were you given, and how much research could you even do
right.
with all the paperwork, with all the stuff that you had to deal with, as well as you had to have studied for a while or been practicing law to know all of the law books, to be able to have a good law library, to research different cases, to even make a point on the case that you have. And I'm just saying, this is deep, so when we are, I'm having a Holy Ghost moment, because when it makes me think about Minister Farrakhan being the chief lawyer, he doesn't need the law book. He knows the law of God in which the integrity and order of things should be, and we as his students go get whatever book to verify what God has in the direction that he wants us to go, because God sets up something that we don't even see. So when we see certain cases won or lost, there's something behind it. You know, when you see certain story movies and you see stuff like, how did they win? How did they win? It was something that they found. It was something that they saw. And I'm just saying that don't doubt and don't follow Minister Farrakhan with doubt and suspicion. There's something that he has that is only straight from God, that no lawyer, no defense attorney, no judge can give you And if you listen to him, stay with him, don't take that vaccination, don't take that jab, don't take that booster. And I don't know why I'm going this way, Dr. Ava. I really don't know. Maybe just go into the next part of
you're coming into real time in the current trial of the Nation of Islam. It's not the domestic life now. It's the vaccine.
Man. And it's very deep, because what's going to happen, you are like, I need to cop a deal. Oh, damn, this is deep. Because I'm thinking to myself that some of us are not going to want to stand trial. We are not going to want to stand trial with Jesus. We're going to be like Peter when the cop crows three times. You know what I'm saying? So are you with him? Because we get ready to arrest you too if you with Farrakhan. But some of us going to say, nah, I'm going to take that jab. Nah, I ain't with him. Nah, I wasn't
That's
with
right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Because now he's about to be brought up on trial, and where are you going to stand? Trust that he has the best defense attorney. He will not lose. He will not be.
That's right.
He will not lose. And some people will be put into jail. We all know that Jesus was put in there. But then we hear about a rumbling and a shaking and the jail doors open. He ain't go nowhere. Because he wasn't worried. Yeah, okay. What do you, Dr. Ava?
Stand your ground.
And you can get all this on MinisterAva.com.
Lord have mercy. Teach. Woo. All right, callers. I know you all are anxious to do your little preaching as well, so we're going to get started. And we missed her last week. I hope she's with us. Oh, it looks like she is. We all know who that is, the one and only Sister Ula.
I was praying the whole time y'all was talking because I was fighting sleep. I start my day at 5 o'clock making prayer, trying to make them 5 prayers a day. But Sister Ava, I got to say this because, you know, I love you, but I want to say this. I've been listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speak to the laborers, 1964 lecture.
Oh, yes.
And it,
yes.
Yes, ma'am. It's almost like what he's saying in that 4-hour and 29-minute lecture is happening right now. He said
right
that
now.
From 1935 to 1942, he was running for his life, and he said they cut the membership in Chicago from 715 people down to 4 to 15 or 20 meeting in the house. In Detroit, where I'm at, they cut it down from 400 to 7 people in the house. He said, and then he was talking about how Malcolm was backstabbing him in Egypt and all over Africa and here in the United States. And he said that process of 1935 to 1942 would reemerge. So I'm seeing in our city, a list of 65 sisters that are on the sick list. And I'm seeing in Chicago the same thing. This thing that they did from 35, he said they would do it a different way. So I'm praying to Allah for my brothers and sisters here in Detroit and Chicago nationwide, because they can't let, if they listen to Minister Farrakhan's lecture, July the Or if he warned us, he said they can't get to him, they would get to us. I want to introduce you to Rhonda. Sister Rhonda, say something. Rhonda? I guess she fell off the line too. Because y'all will put somebody to sleep, Sister Ava. Your voice is so soothing and relaxing.
Are we boring or something?
No, it's the opposite. Your voice is so soothing. I'm not to keep from falling asleep on you.
Okay, She said you will put somebody to sleep.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, you were getting ready, Sister Ava.
We're pouring our hearts out
over
here.
Yeah, use that voice and get you a sleep tape and send it to the nation. You'll become a millionaire overnight.
You don't need Tylenol PM. Just listen to Ava. It'll just bore you right into Nodland.
No, that's right. Well, since Ava, I'm so looking forward to seeing you in Saber's Day, July to February.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm crazy.
I really enjoyed seeing
yes,
you in 2020, you know.
Yes,
so, inshallah, I'm going to get somebody else. Yeah,
all right, beloved.
Inshallah.
Thank you, Sister Ula. We love you. Walaikum salam. Yes.
So, yeah, you do.
There's nobody like
you. I love
the dude.
Oh, boy.
You cannot make this up. You cannot
not at
make
all.
This up.
Not at all. This is original.
That's right. All right, so we have our dear brother, our young brother, Brother Kareem Muhammad. He has a comment for us. Always happy to hear his straightforward and enlightening words. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Well, alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
Oh, fine, sir. Now that we hear your voice, we're all doing well.
I'll pay for it. To Allah. I was just thinking about this Christmas holiday season.
Yes.
And it's so crazy how the date that they chose, you know, they could have chose any other date. They could have chosen the 26th, the 24th. But they specifically chose the 25th.
Come on.
The day of Nimrod.
Right.
And if this Jesus is from 2,000 years ago, how do we know his birth date?
Go ahead, brother.
I mean, just thinking about it, you know, like if 2,000, I mean, most of the nobles and the people who were against Jesus' actual teaching, why would they keep those records of him all the way up to now?
Wow.
And I on the news, it's like, they have, like, the toy donations and things. And every time I see them, I'm just like, I thought Santa was going to give everybody presents. You know, people got to donate their presents. But Santa was supposed to come and deliver presents to people on Jesus' birth anniversary.
Come on, brother.
Which doesn't even make sense. Because if someone's birth anniversary, wouldn't you want to get the presents on your birth anniversary?
Yes, sir.
And
so
everybody's
getting the presents except Jesus.
And I was reading this article, this chapter in The Narrative Life of Frederick Douglass, chapter 10. And it was saying how through Christmas, through the new year, was when they got a break. You know, they would tend to, like, the animals, you know, take care of some other things. But other than that, it was mainly just people partying, getting drunk.
That's it.
And we're doing that today. We're partying,
right.
Getting drunk. Assalamu alaikum.
Drop the mic.
Yes, drop the mic.
Brother Kareem, he's all W's, no L's.
That's right.
Every time
he wins.
He comes with the blunt truth. You just can't escape it. You can't. It's inescapable. There's nothing you can say.
Nope. And what was deep, Dr. Ava, and I'm glad Brother Kareem brought up a point, because I literally was going to bring up the same point. Like at Christmas, the point of gifts, you know, everybody used to see is the wise men bringing gifts to Jesus. Like, but then won't you give the gifts to Jesus? Y'all, we ain't, you know, Jesus, if that's what you want to believe, like you're doing the wise men, but that's the only part of Christmas that you can use to explain your gift giving. It's just very interesting that I just remember that was part of why we are bringing gifts. So I said, well, if you're bringing gifts, they brought gifts to a manger, not to a Christmas tree.
So I
don't know where the Christmas tree came in, but I remember a little boy in the manger because there was no room in the inn. But y'all got a nice little deck and gold Jeremiah tree, and that like the heathens decked with silver and gold, you know, going to the forest and chopping it down. So yeah, so Brother Kareem, you know, you on it. And Christmas on a Saturday night. Oh yeah, they gonna say, well, this is for Jesus. Throw it up, pop this bottle for Jesus tonight, y'all. That's how we thinking,
and that's how America's going out.
Yep.
And those of us who want to be with America, but Brother Kareem is just oh my God, he really makes us know we've won this.
That's right.
On top of everything else, he makes us know that. They don't have anything to cope with our young people. Nothing. So we're gonna continue on because we do have a number of callers. But you know who I want to bring to the mic is our sister who moderates and hosts along with Brother Cartier Muhammad our once a month Zoom presentation called Building Our Promised Land. You know, this is Project Separation 2.0. We're no longer teaching it. We're not telling you to consider it. We're showcasing people who are doing it, because it's unimaginable that there's any other reason for us not to be moving in this direction. Other than that, we're not clear on how. That has to be the reason. You can't still want to live with white people in the way that we do. So, and if you do, there's nothing else anybody can say that hasn't been said. So we're moving on with those who have seen the light. And Tuesday's program was phenomenal. The guests have been on this program before, but it was so great to see the visual presentation. But I'm going to stop talking and have Sister Donna Muhammad give us a report on Tuesday night's program, Building Our Own Promised Land.
Since the energy of this program tonight is on fire, I'm wide awake. I don't know, because energy got me going. I'm pumped up. So I want to say this in to preface talking a little bit about Tuesday night's program, Building Our Promised Land.
Yes,
my husband just got back recently, last week. He was in a small town in Kentucky. And while there, he did the math. He looked up the statistics on Wikipedia and did the math and discovered that this particular little town had 36 black residents in the whole town, and maybe like 125 Latino brothers and sisters. So during that stay, he only saw two black people, and they were at the truck stop passing through. And I thought about the mentality or the mental stress of what it takes to live in that environment. Because when he came back, when I picked him up from the airport, I could literally see the effect of him being there all over him. Like, he looked like he was practically beat down.
Wow.
Just from being in that environment. I physically saw it.
Come on.
I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And you contrast that with he was in Georgia this particular week, and I called him, and he sounded all upbeat. It was just totally different.
It was just a whole different thing.
The energy, and I thought, what kind of mental – because he went the entire week, except for that first day of seeing him at the – he literally went the entire week without seeing a single black person. That was for listening to imagine that. Because there's not a lot of us that live in that type of situation.
Exactly.
In general.
That's true.
That we know and that are probably listening to this program.
Right.
So imagine what that does to your psyche. I mean, they didn't do anything to him or anything like that. He likes to jog. Of course, he didn't feel safe necessarily doing that, and there was nowhere. But the look, and the people looked at him, you know, they had that look like, oh, my God, who are you? Where are you from? What are you
with? Right. Where did you come from?
Because you're, like, in the town. You ain't passing through. You're still here. And so.
That's so deep.
That's really heavy because it does. Because you're going to either try to assimilate, which is messing you up mentally, and they're not going to accept you, or you can't even assimilate, and that's messing you up, too. There is nothing for a black person about that, in that type of environment in which you are not affected mentally. And so that brings me to what we opened up the program with Tuesday night, which was from the Bible, Amos. Chapter 3, verse 3, and the question was raised, can two walk together except they be agreed? We never agreed to come
well,
here.
Talk about
so
it.
How can we
come on,
walk
well, preach.
Well,
when we never agreed to come here. And so that makes me think about that situation he was, you know, where he was. They're like, we didn't agree for you to be in our town. Here with us. And he's not in
agreement
with their spirit and nature. So we have to have these states and territories of our own for our mental health, for our mental health. So Tuesday, as you mentioned, Mayor Jason Larry and Brother Louis Ali was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and it was actually because of that program and how exciting it was to hear from Mayor Larry that we asked them to be on the Project Separation Building Our Promised Land, so that we could get the visual of, you know, as he terms himself, the blacky black mayor.
Yes, I love this.
I love it. And he is that, and he went to a HBCU.
That's right.
And he said in chartering Stonecrest into a city, which is an unincorporated area of DeKalb County, Georgia, which is just east of Atlanta. So it's really just like a bedroom community of Atlanta. I don't want people to say,
it really is.
Way out of
the so city. Close to the city.
Right.
Yes,
downtown. A lot of people live there. A lot of believers already live there. Just, you know, it's not in the sticks.
That's
it's
right.
It's right there. It's right there. So he said, you know, I want things a certain way, too. And he's like, white people are getting it. They're doing it.
That's right.
Unincorporated area. So he was like, we want that. And there's nothing
right.
wrong with black people wanting that. And I love that mindset, that there's nothing wrong.
I mean,
and just to quickly wrap it up, the demographics of Stonecrest, because I think it's important for us, and I encourage everybody to go back and watch that. And you can find it on the website, projectseparation.com, as well as on the Project Separation YouTube channel. But just to paint a quick picture, Stonecrest has almost 60,000 residents.
Listen.
That's a sizable city, not a little hamlet, not a little village.
60,000, that's right.
Almost 60,000 residents. Over 90% of those 60,000 are black. So we're
Come
not
on,
talking
man.
About a little hamlet. And there is nothing wrong with smaller places, too, because small becomes large. But
That's right.
the, you know, I want to see the magnitude of having a mayor and having the mindset that he has for his people.
Exactly.
The mayor, and he said it was not even his intention to be the mayor. See, I didn't know that until the program.
Right. Me
that
too.
It was not his intention to be the mayor. He just wanted to see something this city,
yes,
this situation, and then as circumstances, really as Allah God would have it, he then was elected mayor. So he is the founding mayor of Stonecrest, and we should listen because he goes through the trials and tribulations. It's a good example of how to overcome disappointment, as we're taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, anything of value, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, anything of value, there's going to be a difficulty factor. And he expressed the difficulty factors. He talked about going through, you know, raising the money to do this, because it takes money. Can't just go in there and sign a piece of paper and say we want to do this, and then you have to be suited up and booted up for the battle. So he shared the battle, and I want us to hear that it's going to be a fight, but it's going to happen. And as Brother Terrence said in his words, this is ordained for us. We just got to stay standing and stay firm. But he gave us a good vision of taking over city, and he doesn't want to end there. He said statehood. And he really, as you mentioned on the program, Dr. Ava, he defined territory.
Yeah, that was
And he
awesome.
Talked about a space that's bigger than a city. And so in Stonecrest, not only do they have the city part, they have land.
Right.
And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, land is the basis for freedom. So now
exactly.
We have a bargaining chip. And he's pulling businesses in, and there's businesses there, which tied into the presentation that Brother Lewis gave on the new Black Wall Street market and the importance of having business and cultural districts to sustain what you have. And so he's coming to that. They have a new aquatic center. As he said, Black people like animals too. It was like,
oh,
we like animals
impressive.
Too. We like to see animals too.
Yeah, the stereotype is we don't want anything but to sit on a curb with a bottle of wine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's already somebody that was influential in the arts and culture scene in DeKalb County. So he's interested in bringing that, and they're interested in cultivating the citizenry. And even the businesses at the new Black Wall Street, as Brother Lewis brought it up, they're talking about training in civilization, too. You're not going to treat people any kind of way.
Oh, that's
as the
awesome.
Business owner.
That's
right. Their standards and their training. And so the two are so together, one-on-one. So I really encourage us, because this shows even further we can do this, and we are doing it. It is happening.
That's right.
And there's lots of unincorporated areas around the country. And white people do it all the time. If you live in a major Black city, most of those little cities and municipalities around you were probably unincorporated just a few years before.
That's right.
And they were like, we're going to do this, and we're going to form our city, and we're going to have it. And that's how you end up with all these, like these little Black towns. I mean, like the little white town, like
white
my husband
town.
Was at. That's how they got that way. But we
for
have
sure.
those existing already in Mississippi. And, of course, you mentioned Mississippi a lot as a place
yes.
to look at as well. So there's a lot of little Black towns in Mississippi with Black mayors, Black city councils already. We just have to, as was brought up on the Tuesday program, get into intentional moving. We're going to have to become unsettled, some of us, and go ahead
That's
and start
right.
making these moves and doing, as you've brought out a lot, like how the Mormons did in Salt Lake City, move to these places and overpopulate
yeah.
them, and they become ours, and we become the power structure and the power base. So I invite everybody again to go to the website, projectseparation.com, and the YouTube channel, Project Separation, and look at these programs and then decide in your mind what is it that you're about to intentionally start doing in this process, because it is happening, as Brother Terrence said, it is happening, it will happen. We got to get on board. Or we can just keep
That's
putting
right.
up with Kyle Rittenhouse getting standing ovations and people coming out of these things as millionaires. You know,
look
they shoot
that.
Us and they come out as millionaires. Struggling, we doing
GoFundMe
raising legal costs, or, you know, the family's devastated, they come out of this stuff as millionaires. You know, so we've had enough. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak about the program on Tuesday and for giving us the platform and for the vision of when you said you didn't want the word of the minister to just be out there, and you hit that road in 2018 along with others to crisscross the country with the town hall meeting, generating that energy and planting those seeds. And here we are, praise be to Allah. So, assalamu alaikum to the Elevated Places Network family, and I'm enjoying this energy.
Oh, we're enjoying yours, and you're right, the whole atmosphere.
That's right.
And, you know, I love that Mayor Larry said, Brother Terrence, as Sister Donna heard me say, I wasn't going to call into the show. I just wanted to watch. But I had to comment when he said, you don't need to take over a whole state.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a territory, which
That's
is
right.
an area larger than a city.
Come
and
on.
Remember, that's in the Muslim program. That's the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. A
Ooh.
Separate state or territory of our own. So that we can live. It's got to be livable. And that means there
exactly.
has to be space.
That's
gotta
right.
Be space. Mm-hmm. And from there, we just expand. You know, it as the minister says to me, often process. And the process is happening. So we
That's
can
right.
either start looking, and of course, there is a reverse exodus taking place right now. Black people are moving from the north to the south in great
That's
numbers.
Right. That's right.
And because within the sphere of the United States, our sojourn here, that's our roots, the south. That's not our roots on the planet as the original owners of the planet, but the south, the south border of the United States is our roots, and it belongs to us. It
That's
belongs
right.
to us. We worked it, and Minister Farrakhan told the group in Cobra, reparations is land. It can't be anything but that.
But land. That's right.
You know, this
That's
dollar,
right.
if you all have been to the store lately, oh, my God.
Come on.
You know, the value of the dollar, I mean, gas is five, for premium gas in Chicago now, it's $5 a gallon. Okay?
Mm.
And the people are not reacting.
Whew. Mm.
You know, it's like they're just zombies. They're zombies. They're just not responsive to anything. So we better respond, because as Sister Donna said, you may have to become unsettled. You may have to move where you didn't want to move. See, you all caught up in white America. I want to be in L.A. or Malibu or whatever. You know, that's all really good. But my mind is on, I would rather be in Georgia or Mississippi or Louisiana or Alabama right now than to be in a concentration camp because I'm not vaccinated.
Hey, say that. Say that.
Okay.
That's real.
That's what's up. Yeah, that's what's up. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are furious. That's why this dementia-inflicted Biden is so angry, because they didn't get Africa. Ooh. The next issue of The Final Call, you will see in our depopulation brief page. Every week we give you briefs on depopulation, so you don't forget. And coming up, Brother Alan Muhammad has an article on Africa and Biden's travel restrictions, his black-only travel restrictions, because Omicron is supposedly everywhere in the world now, but it's only Africa where travel's banned. Okay. But not 94% of the people in Africa are unvaccinated.
Come on.
And they have the lowest rate of the so-called virus in the world. So anyway, we're gonna go to the next call.
Well, Bingo did this openly.
Okay. Oh, okay. Mimi's on the air. Okay.
See, live and direct. It's present time.
Live.
This ain't studio recorded. This is live.
Guess what, Mimi? And you know I'm gonna respond. So.
Exactly.
I said,
oh,
Mimi's
my goodness.
She looked like, what's that got to do with what I'm talking about? But anyway.
they ain't relevant to nothing I want.
Right. That has nothing to do with it. But let's go to our dear brother Hoyle, who has a comment for us. He always brings us good information. Assalamu alaikum, brother Hoyle.
Well, alaikum salam. I said, Mimi better have some food. Yes, ma'am. I just want to salute Sister Pam and Sister Donna for the great work they're doing on their shows. And, Brother Terrence and everyone, you know, the whole energy is great and all the callers. I want to bring some information, and I know it's going to be, I don't have that much time, but I got some information for y'all today. You know, Kim Potter, this is not the only the murder she had, Sister Ava. This is, you know, she killed a brother before. Yeah,
what?
Yeah, Benjamin Crump brought that out. Yes, ma'am.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she killed a brother. Oh, yeah, that was about 2 years ago. And it was a big... to do, Ben Crump brought that up, and I was like, "Why?" So, and then you know, earlier you and Sister Pam were talking about the police. You know, we had talked about this months before how the Israeli military has been training our police force. Now, I just want to give you some information. This police chief we have now, Sherilyn C.J. Davis. She used to be in Durham, North Carolina, and she, kudos to her, because she kicked out the Israeli military training out of Durham. Now, I don't know about that here in Memphis. I'm pretty sure they've had it before or still do. But, they had a tour. They had this devil on a tour. Going around, you know, how to kill people, and you know who they meant. They meant black males, you know. So, some more information I have. This Merck, they have a new Merck pill, Sister Ava, called the Paxlovid. Yeah, it's similar to Paximmune. And it causes, I saw on another website that it causes cancer. So, and I want to tell people this, I just want to just shout out to y'all with the excellent work y'all done in this latest final call. And the article in that you and Dr. Ridgely, y'all have, y'all need a Nobel, all the prizes, but Allah is going to especially bless you all. The special section on y'all have the power of natural immunity and why is America pushing her failed healthcare family. Read this paper.
Yes.
Like I said, it's criminal if you don't. Because this is a book of its own if it doesn't wake you up. And I wanted to say this. We were talking about our president when he was speaking the other day, Sister. Do you know he said, and he let it slip out. You're talking about the military. He said, in addition, I have directed the Pentagon to mobilize an additional 1,000 troops to be deployed to help staff local hospitals and expand capacity. That's 1,000 military doctors, nurses, and medics. We've already started moving. Medical term, they've already landed in Wisconsin and in Indiana this week. I got this off of Jeff Rentz's site, and he called him a creepy babbling Biden. So, it's a creepy babbling Biden, fraudian slip against military actions against American people as trains full military tanks are seen across America and prepositioned. And that's true. Sister, when I travel across the country, I wanted to tell y'all last week, I came through Kentucky last week, back from Pennsylvania, and I went through Bowling Green. Sister, to see, I saw that tornado damage. I mean, to see it is Allah, you know, it's the fear of Allah. You know, you we better get right. I mean, all the neighborhoods level, Sister Ava. I mean, all of the signs down back from Bowling Green back, you could see the damage. And then I was going to Missouri last week, and I went through where the tornado crossed Highway 55, and it just leveled houses. I mean, cars on top of barns and sheet metal going through trees. And, you know, so I tell people, take these tornado warnings serious. You know, Minister Farrakhan say that he could send a tornado through a big city. And actually, if you really look at it, tornadoes really don't hit too. America is really the only place that really that it really hits. You know, America's the main place where tornadoes do that. Now, they do happen around the world, but this is the main place. America, especially in the South, and this is where all our blood is, you know. So they're talking about the warm air mass moving, but I wanted to tell Dr. Leem, sir, I never heard of when I get a chance, I'm going to talk to him. I said, now, Dr. Leem, tornadoes hit in December here in Memphis before, because 25 years ago around Christmas time, a tornado killed some people out in this area called Germantown. And that was during the winter time too. And back in 2007 or 2008, we had a tornado hit South Haven, Mississippi, and came through Memphis. I know the Memphis people remember this. Tore up a mall, went over the airport, tore up the whole city. I mean, went through warehouses, Sister Ava. I mean, you could see it was an F, and you could see the big holes in the warehouses. This is about maybe 2007 or 2008. But take these tornado warnings serious, because Allah is not playing. We had an earthquake in California last week, six-pointer on the West Coast. I don't know if you heard about that, but it was a 6.2 out near Oakland. And we just got to take this thing serious. But I just want to congratulate you guys on this beautiful work and this final call. Family, reach this final call, and I'm going to let somebody else talk. And inshallah, I'll be talking later. I'm going to let somebody else talk. But may Allah bless you all. Keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. And, you know, to your point about the tornadoes in with the Minnesota,
yes,
they will come through cities as well, because it's – warm, humid air colliding with cold,
right,
and dry air. And
right,
the Son of Man, can he controls weather.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Know, and so what the enemy doesn't want to recognize, or doesn't want us to recognize, he knows it, is that ability to control weather. And we're taught every act of nature is the result of the active will of God. So this devastation that raged through Kentucky, Mitch McConnell's state.
Yes, okay, ma'am.
Breonna Taylor died there. She was murdered.
That's right.
At
That's
home in her bed.
That's right.
You know,
right.
And so we just have to know the God is on his post. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And every time they hit us, they get hit 1,000 times back.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well,
every
Sister
time.
Ava.
And the messenger told them that, they said, when will that plane you speak of go into action? He said, when you make a move against us. Now, the minister brought that right up to real time on his vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will make a move on us very soon and try to round us up using the public health and all this nonsense.
Right.
And that's when they're gonna see and feel something they could never have imagined in their 6-ounce brain.
Come on, Sister Ava. One more thing before I go. Last week, I caught it. I sent it to Brother Illy Rashad and Brother Avarice, the brother that works, does security for the minister in Michigan. All 1,500 baby planes out. Go look on my post. This white boy, this is in America. I don't know if it was on the coast of California. I'll send it to you, Messenger. Brother Terrence, you can go look on my post. All 1,500 baby planes out. And then it was another one where it was some black people. Our people get to talking crazy, you know. They were tripping. But the white boy, the one with the post with the white boy, all 1,500 baby planes were out. And then Brother Avarice takes him back. He said, "Why they not? Yeah, but you know they're not going to put it on the news." But I got it. It's on my post on my feed. So I'm going to repost it. But all 1,500 baby planes. The white boy up there. What the hell is this? You know. So I mean, this was in America because you had American accent. But then it was one in the hood when our people were tripping.
Yes, sir.
You know, they would start using a baby language, but you know, it's
yes, sir.
But we ain't seen nothing yet. But
we're just seeing maneuvers and preparation because they are about to make that move, and he just told them outright, and most of the public couldn't process what he was saying. Why would he say that? That's in the mind of the average person because they can't fathom an army of people coming to stick a needle in you. They can't fathom that.
That's right.
But that's how these people were brought into existence.
That's right.
Was with needles. And that's how they're going out. That's how their father, Yaqub, our scientists, brought them into existence the same way, sticking needles in brains of babies, using the same characters, the minister, the doctor, the nurse, and the cremator. You notice black people are getting cremated now because we can't afford to bury our dead. They've made it prohibitive. So now we're burning the bodies. It's all happening right now. And we're just asleep at the wheel. But thank you much, Brother Hall. Thank you so much.
Mm.
Right. We have Brother Michael who has a comment. As we're down to about 6 minutes, Brother Terrence.
Yeah, I know. Somebody had a question for you, but we're going to go ahead and hear from Brother Michael as we wrap this up.
Okay. Yes, sir. All right. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael.
My wife is Salam family. How y'all doing this evening?
Fine, sir.
Fine, I guess so.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, this has been a very, very enlightening program. But what I did want to say was you made two very profound statements earlier. You know, the fact that Allah made the woman out of his own mind, pretty much to let us know how important she is on the planet and the reason why we do actually need her here. You give a perfect example of that by the way that you carry yourself, you know, and how much, you know what I'm saying, you love and care about us. So that's one thing I wanted to say. The other thing is it's getting really dangerous out here. Just like you said, it's getting to the point where people, you know what I'm saying, are really letting us know that they really don't want to be around us. They don't want us here. So, yeah, you know, January 6th was a wake-up call for me, really. I mean, truly, just to be able to see that in real time, you know, that's just like the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad just coming off the page, the final call, or not the final call, but Muhammad speaks and right out of the message to the black man. So, yeah, everything that's being done right now is being done at the right time. So I just want to let y'all know that, you know, I'm listening and
praise.
I'm going to be ready. So,
yes,
all right.
Sir. Yes,
well, I'm a Laker family. We love you.
Love you more.
Love you more.
Thank you so much, Brother Michael.
Hey, he getting ready. He's getting ready. And Dr. Ava, I know we trying to catch everybody. Brother Lewis out of
Atlanta asked about how you feel about the new protocol changes in the NFL. And then at the same time, Sister Donna reminded me about Stephen A. Smith having COVID, and he was thankful that he had the Pfizer vaccine, and then he got COVID. So, you know, all these people talking this stuff, yakety-yak, you know, go ahead, keep talking. Yes. Keep talking. Well, run your mouth.
Brother Arif, you know, we don't generally mock people, but this man has been so demeaning, so nasty, such a representative of the enemy. He doesn't say a word about all the white players who are unvaccinated. But zeroes in on the brothers, and particularly Kyrie Irving. I guess he has some built-up envy and jealousy of that young brother. But I will say this about the NFL protocols. Now, I said a year ago when it was far less than this, I said these owners are going to get tired of 2 days before a big game, their star player gets sidelined because they tested positive.
Right.
They don't get tired of that. And it's the NFL that's going to be the straw that broke the camel's back on the test. Watch what I tell you. Because this is big money here.
Ooh,
this is
billions.
Serious money when
That's
you talk
right.
about the NFL.
That's
and,
right.
and the NFL never interrupted their season. They
Come
never
on.
Canceled a game throughout this Come entire
on.
Pandemic. And all, now you got the Delta variant, you got the Omicron, but they're packing stadiums.
Come on, listen.
Each and every week with 80,000, 100,000 people. Where's the outbreaks?
Come on.
And most of the teams do not have they don't require you to be vaccinated to come into the
come
stadium.
On. Come
the
on.
NFL does not require its players to get vaccinated. Mm. They just tell you, well, you have to wear a mask, and if you test positive, you're just going to have a longer quarantine. So they had so many superstars testing positive, and then they hit my team, the Kansas City Chiefs. I almost lost it. Okay. I got ready to call Tyreek Hill and say, listen, you all take a ton of vitamin D3 and you won't read. Okay. Because we're not going out like this. Okay. But they said we're gonna stop testing people who are vaccinated if they're not symptomatic. When is somebody gonna say, why do I have to be tested if I'm vaccinated?
Mm.
That just shows you how blind, deaf, and dumb the public is.
Yep.
That this demon, Big Pharma, Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates and company, they are, at least they think they're getting over, but they couldn't get Africa. They couldn't get, that's why they're coming apart at the seams. Because Africa was the target.
Exactly.
Followed by black folks in America. And then whatever white people got lost, that's just a casualty. But you got 4% of the African population has been vaccinated. So anyway, we're out of time, Brother Terrence. Brother Terrence, I love you, my co-host, Sister Pamela, Attorney Pamela, Sister Rona, Sister Donna. I want to thank all of you who called in, and may Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding, and keep us safe, and keep our beloved, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and his family safe. Have
That's
a
right.
wonderful evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.